Today we get to contemplate, what does it mean to be trustworthy? And deeper, in whom do we place our trust? We realize that offering our trust to another individual, organization, entity, whatever it may be, is a very sacred and fragile offering. It is easily broken, and if broken, we are easily wounded. So this is a very important question for us to think about. In whom do we place our trust? What about you? In whom do you place your trust? We also learn that it takes a while to grow. We might start with just a little bit of trust, and then over time, as the relationship grows, we might build trust. Today, we were entered into the story of Naomi and Ruth at a moment where very fragile trust is just being built. It is coming out of darkness and pain, and it is starting to move into the future. I had an experience with building trust when I was in college. My senior year, got to take some electives, and one of my favorite classes I ever took at college was called canoeing and kayaking. It started in the fall, and I got to canoe in the Minnesota River. And I learned the strokes. I learned the J stroke and the C stroke and how to scull and how to draw. It was so fun. But then when it got too cold to be paddling around the Minnesota River, we got moved into the pool at the Gustavus Athletic Center. Imagine all these college students. We're all strapped into these kayaks, and you know you got that little skirt around holding you in, and we're scooching ourselves, so we get into the pool, and we plop in, and we practice the same strokes, the J stroke and the C stroke. It's all there. But there is something about a kayak that you can't practice in a canoe, especially in a river kayak. When you imagine yourself kayaking down a river and it gets a little wild, oftentimes the kayak flips over and you need to be able to roll it. You need to be able to spin it back up again. And so the skill we needed to practice in the pool was how to get right side up, and that meant we had to start upside down. This was not comfortable for me. I could float, I could get myself across the pool, but hanging upside down, attached to a boat for a period of time in the water was not fun for me. I had to face a lot of fear to be able to do it. Now, of course, if you were in an emergency situation, you could take that skirt off and scoot out of the kayak and breathe, but you would lose your boat because it would go down the river. So you need to be able to hang on to the boat and get yourself upright. Well, I was scared. So I made a deal with my professor and I said, give me 15 seconds. 15 seconds to try, and then I need you to flip the boat upright again. And he did it. He was faithful. Every time 15 seconds hit, he flipped my kayak up. And my trust in him began to grow so that my courage grew, and I was able to stretch it out, maybe 20, maybe 30 seconds. Eventually, I got to the point where I could flip myself up enough to get a breath of air before I went back under again. Thankfully, my grade wasn't dependent on success with this, but one thing I take away from it is that my professor was trustworthy. And even though I will never go river kayaking with you in the white water, probably, I will, however, canoe with you anytime you ask, and I will always remember that professor. He has a warm place in my heart because he was trustworthy when I was scared, and that caused me to be able to learn and to grow. So when was a time you placed your trust in somebody? Today we hear the story of Naomi and Ruth. And you've been hearing the story for a few weeks now. And you know that Naomi had some trust issues. And right at this moment, she is starting to build on them. And this comes out of a place of pain and loss. She has a lot of good reasons to have fear of trust. But I don't believe that's how she started. I believe that she started her life being filled with trust and security. She was born in the land around Bethlehem. It was a land that was taught to her, that was given to them by God. It was a land of abundance. In fact, when the Israelites were coming out of slavery and they moved into this promised land, they called it the land of milk and honey. Remember, they'd been out in the desert for a long time. All they could eat was manna and quail, and I'm sure their taste buds were crying out for a change. But this land was beautiful. It had all the food they could ever dream of. And because it was their promised land from God, they believed it would always be abundant. And so imagine little Naomi growing up and hearing these stories, hearing that this is God's gift. This land is God's gift to her and her people. And it is fruitful and abundant and has milk and honey. She would be secure there, and it would always provide her food. Another thing she was taught is that as a female in that society, she didn't have enough power. But if she had a man in her family, she would always be protected and cared for. I know this rubs us the wrong way, but that's the way it was for Naomi. So she grew up believing that if she had a man, she would always be secure. And so she got to that age where she could get married and she got a husband, and now she's got her security plan. She can trust in her land and she can trust in her husband. She will be fine. And then over time, she adds to these layers of security. She's got two sons that are born, and now she's got not one, but three men who will spend their lives looking out for her best interest. Now, I know the boys were little, but she was going to be that type of mother that taught them, grow up and take care of your mother. So she had this layer of security. And I imagine that at some point in her life, she felt like she had it all. She had her family set. She's got three layers of men to take care of her. She's living in the land of her birth. It's an abundant, fruitful land. She's got everything she ever wanted. She can completely trust that her life is fine. But then, of course, things changed. It began with the land. The land broke her trust. The land stopped providing enough food for her and her family. This wasn't the way it was supposed to be. And it got to be so bad that Naomi and her family had to move. They simply couldn't survive in this land that had failed to provide for them. So they had to move. They had to go to a foreign country. It was called Moab. They didn't know the people. They didn't know the customs. They didn't know the language. But at least there was food. And at least she had her family. So they lived there for a while, Naomi and her husband and her three sons. And then one by one, the men in her life started to fail her. It's not their fault, guys. They died. But one by one, the men in her life failed her. And so now her security has been ripped away. She's not in the land that's supposed to give her food, and she doesn't have these men to look out for her. And what's that say about God then? If God was the one who had chosen her and her people to provide for them and give them land and security, and none of it's working out, what's that say about God? Is God even trustworthy? Naomi got to such a bad place that she changed her name. She told the world, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, which means bitter. She wanted every person to know that she was bitter. And bitter people do not have hope, and they do not have joy. All she could see through the landscape of her life was failure and broken trust. Have you ever had your trust broken? It is so painful. I see people nodding. It is so painful because you risked a part of yourself, and now that part has been broken. I think about growing up. Like Naomi, I grew up in a land where I was told it was abundant and it would provide for me, and especially the air. There's such crisp, clean air. I was taught as a child, go outside and play and breathe in that fresh air. And the more you do that, the healthier you will be. That air is rich with oxygen, and you will be a strong, healthy person if you go out and breathe the air. But now, as an adult, I've seen more days than I can count where the air outside was poison. It broke my trust. I could not go outside and breathe the air and be healthy. Or what about as a child, I and probably you were taught there are certain places where you can go to be safe. You can go to your church. You can go to your school. You can go to a government building perhaps and be safe. And now as an adult, I'm learning that all of those places can have violence and harm, and they can become unsafe. And thinking that these places that used to be safe are now unsafe makes me wonder if there's anything safe at all. And do any of you remember your first paycheck? My first paycheck, I remember getting it, and there was a chunk missing. And I was told that's called tax. And that goes to the government, who has promised to protect you and take care of you and provide for your needs in when you can't do it yourself. And so I was taught, oh, trust the government. And now as an adult, I see that sometimes the government shuts down, and sometimes the government stops the SNAP benefits, and sometimes the government doesn't come through on its promises, and I'm left with broken trust. And maybe you are too. And if we're not careful, we will look at the landscape of our lives and see broken trust everywhere and become bitter. And we will look at life as if nothing will ever go right again, and we will have no hope and no joy. Let's go back to Naomi. Certainly, if we look at the landscape of her life through her eyes, all we see is failure and broken trust. But what if Naomi was looking for trust in the wrong place? What if she wasn't looking at God and what God was doing? If we look at the landscape of Naomi's life through God's eyes, what do we see? It's a different story. We see that Naomi was in the land of Bethlehem, and there was not enough food for her and her family. But God knew where there was food, and there was abundant food. And even though it wasn't Naomi's desire or dream, God made a way for her family to move to the land of Moab, where they would have plenty of food and where they could live for a long time. And in fact, the food there was so abundant that it didn't just provide for Naomi and her family, but they were able to add two more people. Over time, the sons got married, and now they had a bigger household, and the food still was plentiful. God knew how to take care of Naomi and her family and where they could go to get enough food. And what about these men who kept failing her? Again, not their fault. They died. But they failed her, and Naomi was looking for another man. Where's the man that's going to take care of her? And God knew she needed care and protection. And God did raise up an individual, only it wasn't anybody that Naomi had imagined. It was a woman. And her name was Ruth. And for reasons we don't understand, Ruth chose to pledge herself to Naomi and say, Naomi, I will do my very best to take care of you and to provide for you and to walk with you. And then eventually Naomi and Ruth got to Bethlehem, and Naomi starts to dare to trust a little bit. And this is where we enter the story. She has been bitter. She has not been able to see God's hand in her life, but God was watching. And over time, Ruth proved to be trustworthy. And now Naomi is taking a few tiny steps into the relationship, thinking she might be able to reciprocate the trust that Ruth has shown to her. And now Naomi's mind is spinning and her wisdom is being shared, and she's making family connections, and she's thinking, oh my, there's an opportunity here with Boaz and Ruth. And God, who has been with her all along, provided for Naomi a reason to hope, because God saw that opportunity as well. And because of the union of Ruth and Boaz, hope was brought to Naomi in the birth of a grandchild she thought she would never be able to hold. There was a grandchild. And furthermore, through that grandchild was eventually birthed the hope of the whole world. If we look at the landscape of Naomi's life through the eyes of God, we see that at every step, God was trustworthy. Naomi's life didn't turn out according to her plan or her dream, but God never abandoned her, was with her every step of the way, and brought her out of bitterness to a place of hope and joy. In the same way, if we look at the landscape of our lives through bitter eyes, all we will see is brokenness and failure. But what if we turn our eyes to the one who is trustworthy and look at the landscape of our lives through the eyes of God? We will see a different story. We will see that, yes, there are days when the air outside our homes is poisonous, but actually there are other places where the air is clean, and maybe machines are cleaning it. Maybe it's just away from the smoke, the haze, the pollution. But actually on all those days when the air was bad around our homes, there was enough oxygen in the whole earth that everybody was still able to breathe. God still provided places where we could breathe and have fresh air. And in those times when our trust is broken in certain places that we thought were safe, and we couldn't go to those places anymore because they were unsafe, I see that God opened doors, even doors of strangers, doors of different churches, doors of different buildings to house those who had been harmed. That gates were opened and generosity was unleashed and people were brought into other places that were safe. There was the ability to find safety. And I learned that even those times when the government doesn't use my tax dollars the way I think they should, there are people in this world that see who is hungry and who is homeless and who needs clothing, and they will open their closets and open their cupboards and open their wallets and go to Cub Foods and get that gift card so that all may be fed and housed and clothed. And there is enough for all, and God is still here. God is still providing, but it might not be in the way we prefer or in the way we expect. Here's the sad truth. Eventually, every human will disappoint us and will fail us. Every human will. Eventually, everything every human has built will fail us and turn to dust, because these things are not created for eternity. What is created for eternity is the promise of God to be with us. And we know this because God proved it to us, because he came here and took on mortality and gave his whole life so that we might have hope for eternal life. So we might, in every circumstance, be able to look out and see a reason for hope and joy. And here is where a miracle happens. Because in our desperate search for something trustworthy, we turn our eyes to Jesus. We focus on him. We want to look at him more. And then we want to hear more of him. And so we listen to him harder. And we want to understand more. So we dig into the word and we start reading it more. And the more we do, the more we know Jesus, the closer we get to Jesus, and then the miracle. We become more like Jesus. It's not our own doing. It's not part of our control. But the more we seek Jesus, the more he transforms us into people like himself. And the miracle is, the more we are like Jesus, the more we become trustworthy. This world is filled with people hurting from broken trust. People are broken, they are bitter, their trust has been shattered. They need hope. And as the body of Christ in this world, we can testify to the one thing that is trustworthy, and that is Jesus Christ. We can tell the stories of how he has been faithful and trustworthy to us, and we can become trustworthy to other people. That doesn't mean that at any time, any one of us won't fail. Get weak, fall down, need help. That will happen. But as we are members of the body of Christ, the body will help itself. Members will come and lift us up and give us what we need so that we stand firm for all the world to see that, yes, there is something trustworthy. And his name is Jesus. The broken, hurting, fragile world is looking for some reason to hope. And we know that reason. We are called to be trustworthy in the name and in the strength of Jesus Christ. So as we look back over the landscape of our lives, let us look with the eyes of Christ and find all those weak places where Jesus shone through and proved to be trustworthy. And as we gather together as a community of faith, let us stand together and support one another and boldly proclaim to this world that we know who is trustworthy, and his name is Jesus. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you with all of our brokenness. We come to you with our cracks and our bruises, our brokenness, everything that feels bitter, and we just give it to you, and we ask you to send your Spirit and to fill in all those weak places, shine through them and shine through us, and make us into your body that will boldly and courageously testify that Jesus, you alone are trustworthy, and we can find our hope and our joy in you. Amen.